So a bit of change of pace. A friend of mine recently shared with me the origin of OMG, the initials for Oh My God. Does anyone know the origin of these initials or how long it's been since we've been using them? So I, of course, assumed something rather recent, linked to the beginning of texting, or I suppose I could remember somewhere in the deep memory of the 1990s chat rooms where maybe someone had introduced me to those three letters. But what I came to learn is that the first usage was actually 100 years ago this September in a letter from a British war admiral to Winston Churchill during World War I. "I hear a new order of knighthood is on the tapis," wrote Admiral James Fisher. "OMG, shower it upon the Admiralty." Medievalist Cameron Hunt McNabb studies the similarities between text messaging today and medieval manuscripts, a job I would have never known existed had it not been for this recent education. And essentially, McNabb shares that manuscripts of previous eras had similar limited space, though often due to the huge expense of vellum and ink rather than the limited size of a cell phone screen. "Whether it's quill strokes or keystrokes," writes McNabb, "the English language has accommodated and will continue to accommodate the pressures that various forms of communication brings. So the next time you text, think about your linguistic kinship with medieval scribes." We live in a world that has this narrative that we are constantly embarking on the new, into uncharted territory, experiencing life as though it has never been considered. And this is in all forms, humans pushing the body to the greatest possible limit to experience the highest peak of a mountain, the new territory of hope and connection to the world in its origin form. But then there is also the embarking that we heard in our joys and sorrows, embarking on journeys that can close the heart in unfathomable grief, in unpracticed fear. The ongoing terrorism, dozens of children killed by suicide bombs, learning the language and culture of another country's politics as it seeps into our own, uncharted territory that can strangle the heart and deplete the spirit's insistent reach for hope. In times such as this, I find such comfort in picturing Winston Churchill reading OMG. Somehow, amidst all the newness, all that there is to learn, all my fears about what we will learn, the world somehow feels held by a blandness, a continuity, a cyclical spin that offers me pause. As my friend said to me, it is comforting to learn that the newness of our age is not so entirely new as we may have thought. Yes, we walk with great wariness, but a bit of hope, too, into an uncertain future we cannot begin to imagine. But so did our grandparents. And so did their grandparents, too, and theirs before, and so on, all these many generations past. I think of these ancestors today, this continuity of time on this Memorial Day weekend, because despite a 16-plus year war, and fully able to remember that the recent Manchester suicide bombing was not the first, that colored alerts in major cities and candlelight vigils and interfaith rallies are not new, every day, even when we come to gather, knowing to honor life given to war, every day it feels like uncharted territory. New full body grief that makes the spirit weep and makes me, still in my new parenthood, at least fear for the future in a way I had never believed possible. Rarely do I like to bring attention to my age, but maybe I won't, and I'll just sit down now. But the reality is, I came of age as the towers fell. And I remember the airports before 9/11, but I have also grown up and come into my adulthood with a war that is intentionally not called war, but operational combat. A sanitizing of the brutality of this life on the body and psyche, to say the least. Only 1% of my generation of Americans serve in the war on terror. And when I am reminded of it, it is optional. I lived and worked in New York City after the literal dust had cleared, and now Tobias puts his feet in the 9/11 Garden of Reflection fountain. I have the option of scrolling past the Facebook pictures of foreign soil and ammunition that high school friends post of their Tuesdays in the Middle East in order to post my own memes about children's books. We live in an age and have raised a generation and are bringing up another where we are both bombarded with the threats of mass terrorism, of war, and yet so intentionally removed from its realities. It is a disgusting dishonoring of the men and women who willingly sacrifice their lives for a freedom and safety I believe exists without much thought or thanks. Half of my life, and this war continues on, but it does not live in my bones or story like generations before. How frightening. How deserving of grief in and of itself. Unitarian Universalist minister and Vietnam veteran Davidson Lair writes of the relationship between soldiers and citizens as a covenant, a promise we Unitarian Universalists, but also citizens of this country, make with one another. I'll risk my life, maybe even lose it, he writes, in a cause I can't fully grasp. In a battle that is part of a larger war I'll never fully understand. I'll do it for you because I am one of you. In return, you must promise me two things. First, you must promise that you will do everything in your power to make sure it is a war that is worth my life. Second, you must promise never to forget. You must promise never to forget me, us, and what we did, because we did it for you. You must promise to never forget. I say here today without an ounce of pride and with deep dis-ease, it is hard to never forget, to faithfully live this covenant when the world is set up so that we don't learn. Yes, learn of the history lessons, the wars won, the mistakes learned from to never repeat again, learn who was evil and how they lost. But today we don't see the faces, hear the numbers, read the names like we did even just a few years ago. How frightening, how deserving of grief in and of itself. And yet today, in this space, I am called to name at least my own shameful reality by the charge of our shared tradition to do what is perhaps the most essential part of who we claim to be. Honor, call true, grieve when we must our own human kin. Face the realities of this life and give this cloud of witnesses, their families and friends who do not have the privilege to not know, the proper peace in knowing they are not forgotten. Speak their names. Attempt to understand, seeking to feel that cost which is always too dear. Kathleen McTeague writes in a meditation called They Are Still With Us, in the struggles we choose for ourselves, in the ways we move forward in our lives and bring our world forward with us, it is right to remember the names of those who gave us strength in this choice of living. it is right to name the power of hard lives well lived. We share a history with those lives, she writes. We belong to the same motion. They too were strengthened by what had gone before. They too were drawn on by the vision of what might come to be. Those who lived before us, who struggled for justice and suffered injustice before us, have not melted into the dust and have not disappeared. They are with us still. The lives they lived hold us steady. Their words remind us and call us back to ourselves. Their courage and love evoke our own. And we, the living, carry them with us. We are their voices, their hands, and their hearts. We take them with us, and with them choose the deeper path of living. For generations, we have lived in unprecedented times. And while this is certainly one of them, one that is deserving of uncertainty and, yes, some fear, we also share a history, belong to the same motion, somehow absurdly use the same initials, and can be strengthened by what has gone before. It is too easy to forget the connection we have to the past, too easy to find the hard realities of this Memorial Day found in today, and not only to the memories, stories, and bodies of yesteryear, but those that are now and those that were then. Unprecedented, and the story of always. In the shared life, the shared life that is known and not optional, we can keep our hearts tender, our spirits whole, and our world intact. That is, if we keep the ancestors, that cloud of witnesses, the shared motion of our lives, close to the beat of our hearts and the intention of our days. So let us say their names. These are the men who have died since our last Memorial Day. Joshua Rogers. Cameron Thomas. Mark D'Ellen Carr. Robert Bonfus. Alan Brown. John Perry. Tyler Lubelt. Ryan Gloyer. Andrew Byers. Michael Sorrow. Douglas Riney. Adam Thomas. Matthew Thompson. Christopher Wilbur. And Andrew Clement. May our hearts and lives give their lives justice. May their names be heard.